The views expressed on community issues and missions are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of the board or the staff of Cumberland Valley Christian Radio.
Welcome to Community Issues and Missions. Cumberland Valley Christian Radio is proud to provide a servant's heart time where we recognize local people who are addressing issues that impact our central Pennsylvania community. People tackle the problems and do their best to take corrective actions to make our lives better.
Well, hello and welcome to this week's edition of Community Issues and Missions. It's good to be back with you again. I am your host, Jeremy Ross, and we have a return guest. It's been about a year since we've talked last. I have Joe Arthur, who is the Executive Director for the Central Pennsylvania Area Food Bank. I believe I got that correct.
Central Pennsylvania Food Bank.
So it's good to have you back with us again.
Thanks, Jeremy. I am glad to be back.
And I'm interested to hear, now that it's been roughly a year, to see, you know, some of the things that have been happening since we last talked. But before we get into that, go ahead and give our listeners a quick recap on what the food bank is all about so they have that refresher.
Yeah, Central Pennsylvania Food Bank works in 27 counties, Cumberland County being one of those right nearby. We're based in Harrisburg, what we call our healthy food hub. And we have a second hub in Williamsport to help serve our northern counties. And we're working with almost 1,000 partner agencies, think pantries and shelters, soup kitchens and youth programs and the like, senior programs, all throughout 27 counties. And our job is primarily to get them good, healthy food at the absolute lowest cost. And a lot of our food, about 3/4 of it, coming from business donors. And it's a lot of food because it's over 1 million pounds a week that we handle. So a lot of folks that we're serving and a lot of food.
Yeah, we were talking before the actual recording with me working in retail myself, getting the opportunities to see sometimes the logistics of food that's coming and going and all that goes into it. And it really is a complex and large process.
It is. In order to serve customers, our grocery stores and our farmers and our food producers all have a choreography that happens that's sort of out of view. But in our work, we see it, and we're very appreciative of the work they do to make sure that food isn't being wasted. It's actually getting to the kitchen tables of folks that need it.
And you've been with the organization for how long?
A little over 10 years now. I'm learning every day, even after 10 years. Every day is different and new, but it's a wonderful mission to be part of. I think we get to see some of the best of people as they help their neighbors.
Very nice. Okay, now, so getting into some of the new things, I guess one of the first things we can do is, like, since it's been a year, like, what has the 2018 year, what did that look like for you guys?
We just finished 2018, and it's interesting. We're in a strong economy overall, but we expected maybe need to diminish more than it did. We have a low unemployment rate, et cetera. But while it went down a little bit in some of our counties, we still, our primary client base is actually working families with children. And they're not quite making enough money. So they're not, you know, they're captured as employed, but not quite making enough. So that really, we saw that in 2018, and it kind of confirmed what we were concerned about. So need is still at a pretty high level, which is a bit of a paradox. However, we were well prepared. Our donors of both food and funds, very much, very generous, staying with us to help people. And we also had some additional help from our USDA, our friends at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and our State Department of Agriculture, where we started to see more trade mitigation food. That was a story towards the end of last year. And what that means is, with some of the international trade issues, the USDA was buying product from producers and farmers that were impacted. And then that's offered to food banks to help people in need. So kind of right when we needed it, we had some extra food stocks.
And that's interesting that you say about a lot of the people that are actually in need, because I think when people would think about a food bank and the people that usually are in need of the food bank. They're thinking of people who are really like on the low poverty end of the right. spectrum. But based on what you're saying, in a lot of cases, it's not actually quite like that.
There's a lot of cross currents, and we do, you know, we're certainly serving people who are in deep poverty and are in the, you know, in the unemployed ranks and also beyond that. You know, a lot of folks are elderly or disabled, and, you know, that even impacts the caregivers in the family. Their ability to work full time, you know, might not be there. So there's that's, you know, historically been a large part of our service. But this additional area where working families just aren't making enough is more pronounced now than it was maybe even 10 years ago. But our job is to serve, so we want to make sure folks are fed, regardless of their circumstances. And here in Central Pennsylvania, you know, we have relatively low unemployment. So, like I said, there are cross currents, but we've been doing this a long time, and we know how to reach people.
Right. Now, I want to know one thing that was interesting that you brought up, and I hadn't even considered this, but the government shutdown that we've been in the middle of has been playing an interesting factor in how you guys operate. So I'm curious to hear what has been happening.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have experience because Pennsylvania has had some of its own furloughs and shutdowns, and a particularly severe one in 2009. So early in this process, we put together a plan to serve federal workers and contractor workers who are in need if they miss a paycheck. So we put that together, and last week, as the shutdown continued, we started that service, which is actually in addition to our normal service that's always needed. So we're serving at our two hubs some special times, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, from 4 to 6:30 p.m. We open our facility and actually serve folks right at our warehouses, which is unusual for us. But it's good that we did it because in our first week, we had about 400 families relied on us with the first missed paycheck. So we expect that to increase this week. The good news, I mentioned the extra food that we have in stock, particularly from the USDA. We are ready. I think we all hope the shutdown ends pretty quickly, but we are prepared if it goes on for some weeks.
Yeah, I was wondering how many people you were seeing coming in for that because of, you know, it's affecting quite a few.
Yeah, and one thing we learned, a lot of folks don't realize that some of those federal workers are like federal prisons. We have several in Central Pennsylvania. Those are not, you know, typically high-paying jobs. Folks really need their paycheck, and that was a substantial portion of the service we provided in the first week. So we also had, ironically, some USDA workers, folks that inspect poultry plants and other meat plants, come in, you know, and here we are with USDA product that they may have inspected.
Yeah.
Ironic, but it kind of points out, you know, the type of folks that are in need. We had airport workers because we're not far from the Harrisburg International Airport. So different than I think what the public perception of federal workers might be. These are folks who need their paycheck.
Yeah.
And we need them.
Yeah. That's what I'm always amazed by because, you know, the number of people that you're helping and that are coming in is really all across the board. It's no one set type of person. It can be any type of, you know, demographic, walk of life, income bracket, you name it. But, you know, people are in need at different times.
That's right.
And yeah,
that's right.
So it's always going on.
Right.
So there are also, too, I know some, in some ways, the way you're describing that's kind of like a special endeavor. And I know that's not the only special endeavor that you've been working on. And there was a few that you had wanted to share. So go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, I did. We're in farm country here. So I did want to share two stories about how farm product, how the food bank has innovative ways to get that to folks in need. So the first is we have a Pennsylvania agricultural surplus system that provides some state funding to help us get product from farms that's probably not saleable, say in the grocery store, but is perfectly good. You know, it might be kind of off-sized produce, things like that. In the surplus of milk that we have right now in the dairy crisis, we've been able to have milk processed into cheese. And I don't mean a little milk. I mean a lot. In 3 years, we've had about 40 tanker loads, the big trucks.
Wow.
Turned into cheese by Pennsylvania cheesemakers with that funding. And that's just awesome product for people in need. So we're really proud of that. That's actually generating millions of pounds of food that otherwise might not make it from the farm. So that's great. And then we also started a food bank co-op. It's an actual cooperative. And that is 23 food banks who are putting our funds together and accessing surplus product at the Port of Philly and bringing it in, mostly in the winter months. So a lot of fruits and veggies we wouldn't otherwise see. Again, millions of pounds. And it's working real well. So just some exciting things that are helping us provide more healthy food.
Well, I'm going back to the dairy aspect, because I've been aware for a little while that, yeah, the dairy industry is definitely in a tight spot right now. I hadn't thought about that. So with there being so much out there, are you finding that there is just a much larger influx of dairy in general that you're getting? I'm just curious how that is potentially different than it was in the past.
It actually makes for more available supply for us at the food bank, and we have a large milk program. So we already work with our dairy farmers and processors. But this was kind of a unique way to try to get even more of that surplus milk that doesn't have a market and turn that into food. So really hats off to our dairy farmers and our Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. Without this kind of innovative program, you know, that's a lot of tanker loads of milk that may have just been composted. But here it is turning into blocks of cheese, right?
Right.
So, you know, just wanted to share that with folks to let them know that there's a lot of innovation that goes on to really help us get more and more healthy food for folks that need it.
Okay, cool. All right, well, it's been fascinating hearing about all the stuff that's going on. So I guess the main question I would ask as we're getting into the last few minutes is, all right, now that we're moving into a new year, what are some of the things you're looking forward to or hopeful about for 2019?
I'd like to share how can people help with this. So the holidays are over, so volunteerism is important. So during the winter months and into the summer, we're always looking for more volunteer groups. So we have a great sign-up spot on our website for our volunteer sessions. We do them every day. Morning, afternoon, and evening. So that's always important. Of course, we can always use folks' financial donations. It takes dollars to run the food bank, quite a few of them, actually. So folks that are able and want to join in the mission, we could always use their financial support. You know, there's the three T's, time, talent, and treasure. We kind of add a fourth one. We add tenacity, right? So even in good times, we need folks to stay with us in the mission, because there is always need, even in good times. And you know, this shutdown kind of shows us it can come from a direction you don't expect, but the food bank is always there.
And if people want to get in touch with you or volunteer or get involved in some way, what ways can they find you?
Sure. If they have access to the internet, it's centralpafoodbank.org. Our phone line is 717-564-1700. We have a live operator. We always have a receptionist there during business hours. And those are the easiest ways. We're also on all those other social media things, but I can't memorize all those. but we're easy to find. So reach out to us, and we could use your help.
All right. Well, thank you, Joe. It's been great to have you back now in this new year and hear what's been happening and what's in store for the future. So I've been talking with Joe Arthur, who's with the Central Pennsylvania Food Bank. It's been a pleasure. And until next time, thank you for listening. I'm Jeremy Ross. We'll see you next week.
Well, we thank you for listening today. Please pray for these people as they address the issues and mission efforts for all of us. We'll talk to you again next week.